Podcasting in a writing class? Considering the possibilities. Episode 2, Podcast Types to Consider. Welcome to Podcasting in a Writing Class, Considering the Possibilities, a multimodal project exploring podcasting as part of a writing class. You are listening to Episode 2, Podcast Types to Consider. This is a 6-episode podcast series with an interconnected web text published in Kairos, a journal of rhetoric, technology, and pedagogy. A full transcript of each episode is available on the website.
I am Dr. Jennifer L. Bowie, your host for this series and a senior usability research analyst for the Home Depot website. I am also a podcaster with a variety of podcasts, including Screen Space, a podcast about creating usable, accessible, effective, and efficient web, blog, and digital media design for the everyday and non-expert designer.
In this episode, I will discuss the 3 types of podcasts that can be integrated into the writing classroom: teacher-produced podcasts, student-produced podcasts, and externally produced podcasts. Without further ado, let us begin Episode 2, Podcast Types to Consider. Podcast Types to Consider. Individuals with a passion for a topic, Fortune 500 companies, and nonprofits are not the only ones who can and should utilize podcasting. Podcasts can also be integrated into the classroom for myriad reasons and benefits. However, writing teachers must consider the types of podcasts they want to incorporate. Before I present possible assignments in episodes 3 through 5, I first define the various types of podcasts we may want to consider incorporating into our writing classrooms. 2 types and subtypes are internally produced or classroom podcasts, and 1 type is externally produced. Teacher-produced podcasts. Much of the scholarship on podcasting focuses on teacher-produced podcasts, including studies by Belinda Tyann and Stephen Colburn, Danny McKinney, Jennifer Dyke, and Leslie Lubber, and also Stephen Krause. Teacher-produced podcasts can be divided into 2 types of classroom podcasts. The first one is lecture in a box. The most common type of podcast discussed in the literature of classroom and educational podcasting is the lecture in a box style. See, for instance, Tynan and Colbran. This is also a common type found on iTunes University. In a recent review of the main page of iTunes University, I found all of the class-based podcasts were podcasts of class lectures. The lecture in a box type of podcast is simply a recording of the lecture in a lecture-based class, and often the whole class. Frequently, these are posted without any editing. In fact, there are programs designed specifically for this, such as Profcast, which will include sounds along with the voice. Tynan and Colbran found reduced attendance rates and that students considered the podcast lectures to be replacements for class. However, they also discovered that rarely do the professors see these podcasts as replacements, but as support for those who attend the class. This style is helpful for students who miss class, who want to have a copy of the lecture but don't want to be distracted during the lecture by taking notes, who want to review the lecture, and even for students who are thinking of taking the class. These podcasts may also be helpful for ESL students who may want to pause to look up words, which they can't do in a lecture. Tynan and Colbran found that students thought this style of podcast helped with exam preparation and assisted learning. However, this style does not work well in classes that are not mostly lecture and may not match the pedagogies of many writing teachers. Discussion or workshop-based classes would not easily work if recorded for a podcast, and many writing classes have workshop and discussion components. Thus, for many of us, the lecture-in-a-box style podcast would not work well in our classroom structures or with our pedagogies. Teacher-produced podcasts. Not all teacher-produced podcasts are simply recordings of lectures. Teachers may produce a variety of podcast types for class that go beyond that. These podcasts should be designed specifically for a class and not podcasts that a teacher created for other audiences or other reasons. They may be supplemental material, support material, review material, smaller recordings of parts of lectures, or possibly even a major source of class readings. For example, if a professor was creating a textbook for the class, she could distribute this not in print form, but in podcast form. I have recorded a few key mini lectures or presentations of material in my classes and podcast them for the students. I selected material I thought that the students may want to access in the future, such as a short lecture and demonstration I gave on how to use Audacity. This type of teacher-produced podcasts are also popular in the literature. For instance, Michael Huntsberger and Alan Stavisky provided optional and supplemental podcasts of reading overviews, and Chris Evans studied revision podcasts. In both these studies, the researchers found students were receptive to the styles of podcasts, and Evans found that students listened on the go, while Huntsberger and Stavinsky found that students would listen to the same podcast repeatedly. Thus, drawing on these studies, it seems students take advantage of the anytime, anywhere aspect of the teacher-produced podcast to increase their learning opportunities. Stephen Krause presents one example of teacher-produced podcasts incorporated in his writing class. Since it was an online class, he opted to record himself giving the lectures for students to access instead of writing up notes or using another media. He included more information than simple lectures. This material was new to the students and not just a recording of lectures that had already occurred. He also created these podcasts to help develop community. His results from this were mixed. He was disappointed that some students did not listen to all or any of the files, but he found results promising too, because the students who did listen were enthusiastic and because the podcast helped build that connection between teacher and student. This example shows how teacher-produced podcasts can enrich a variety of class types, especially online classes, but also that podcasts are not a learning activity without flaws. Our next category, student-produced podcasts. Student-produced podcasts. The least common type of internal podcast I have found in the literature is student-produced podcasts. These would be any podcast that students produce for the class, often as a class requirement in some way. These podcasts may be created by a single student, a group of students, or possibly even the whole class. These podcasts may, in some ways, relate to course content, like a review of the past week's material, or they may be on topics related to the class content, such as a rhetorical analysis of a speech. Lastly, they may not be clearly related to the content beyond perhaps the development of digital and rhetorical skills. For example, a podcast on a student-selected topic, such as local architecture for a writing class. The audience will generally contain the students and teacher, but like other writing assignments, could be external to the class, such as certain political groups, organizations, or niche audiences with special needs or interests. There are many possible assignment types for student-produced podcasts. I'll present some types I have tried in my classes in episodes 3-5. As teachers of writing, it is easy to see the advantages of student-produced podcasts over lecture in a box or other types of teacher-produced podcasts. Students often learn more from doing than just reading or listening. I have seen improvements in students' applications of the 5 canons of rhetoric, along with audience, tone, purpose, and context when they podcast, and they often carry these improvements to other types of composition. Some study findings presented in episodes 3-5 support these improvements. Here is a quick sample of snippets from a few student-produced podcasts in my class.
Welcome to the Red Arena Podcast. Rhetorical tips to keep you on your toes.
Hello, my name is Brett Jones. Today is Wednesday, November 19th, 2008, and you are listening to Progymnus Modcast, a podcast about discussing how ancient instruction of rhetoric can be applied to modern pedagogy to better prepare our students to become successful rhetorical citizens.
This is Angela Johnson, and welcome to my podcast and my capstone project, which seeks to evaluate the rhetorical arguments used in granting the last two stays of execution in the Troy Davis case.
Buenas tardes. Welcome to El Pilon. Have a seat in my kitchen while I get you some coffee and crackers. As a Puerto Rican, I find family, friends, culture, food, and love of the beautiful island all inextricable.
Welcome to my first podcast on Eclectic Bowl. If you've been following any of my recent posts, you know I've just returned from a 2-week trip overseas. I traveled so much during my life that packing and preparing for a trip almost seems as natural as loading the car up for a trip across town. Well, Maybe it's a bit more complex than that. International travel can be pretty overwhelming if you've never done it before. So I decided to put together my top 10 traveling tips and tricks that I follow every time I make an international trip.
Externally produced podcasts. The last common type of podcast is what I call externally produced podcasts. These are podcasts that may be on a topic related to class, but are not produced by anyone in the class for the class. Thus, these are similar to the books, chapters, and articles that we have students read as class texts and textbooks. These could also be produced by the class professor, but not specifically for the class. For example, I have a web design podcast called Screen Space, and I occasionally have students listen to relevant episodes for part of their readings. As I did not create these podcasts for class, but as part of my own podcast series, they're externally produced and not teacher produced. Another externally produced podcast I like to use in my classes is Grammar Girl, a fun and short weekly grammar podcast, which I tend to require all of my undergraduate students to subscribe to and listen to for the duration of class. I've also required or suggested usability podcasts, technical communication podcasts, political argument podcasts, and podcast series of famous speeches such as Say It Plain, Great African American Oratory, Great Speeches in History podcast, and the speeches of President John F. Kennedy. These externally produced podcasts can be used not only for students to learn new material, but to analyze the genre of podcasts, discuss class-related subjects like tone, audience, and style, and compare and contrast various media. This type of podcast is rarely, if at all, discussed in the educational scholarship on podcasts, possibly because these are not frequently used, or because they are seen as too similar to the reading required for class and are overlooked by scholars. Including at least some of these externally produced podcasts makes sense in any class that includes the other types of podcasts, especially student-produced podcasts. These podcasts have the same advantages as teacher-produced podcasts. They are time and location-shifted learning opportunities and are a way students can do their readings while driving, running, doing chores, or in times or places in which reading could be hard. This expansion of learning time especially aids students who have a variety of other time commitments, such as jobs or a family. In addition, even just incorporating externally produced podcasts introduces some students to a new media and could aid in advancing their technical literacy. Also, as podcasts are generally free, this is a cheaper option than having students buy another book. Teachers can assign a single podcast episode on a topic, require a class to subscribe to the same podcast while in class, or have students subscribe to their choice of podcasts within a select group or genre. I had one class subscribe to a political podcast of their choice during the 2008 election. I provided a list of options, but allowed them to find other options, as long as they had them approved through me. I found the variety of podcasts led to fascinating class discussions, reading responses, and related assignments in a way that likely could not have been repeated had they all subscribed to the same podcast. The students also liked having the choice. I have discovered that including externally produced podcasts enriches my writing and rhetoric classes and provides a certain level of excitement that another print textbook does not. Used in conjunction with print and other digital texts, externally produced podcasts may work well as texts in a variety of writing classes. On the web text, I have included a list of externally produced podcasts that I have found work well as readings and as examples. To summarize, the first type of podcast is teacher-produced podcasts, which can be lecture-in-a-box podcasts, where the teacher records the lecture, or they can be podcasts that the teacher develops specifically for the course. The next type is student-produced podcasts, which, like the teacher-produced podcasts, are internally produced. The students create these podcasts as part of the class to fulfill assignments, although it does not have to. The final category is externally produced podcasts, which are podcasts developed by podcasters outside of the class and for the purposes beyond being used in that class. These podcasts are much like textbooks. They are additional resources for the students. In fact, I often assign externally produced podcasts as readings for my students. While any of these types of podcasts may enrich the students' learning opportunities, of course, simply adding podcasts to the classroom does not guarantee any of these things. Teachers must integrate the podcast in a pedagogically sound and thoughtful way and actively engage their students in these components in the same way that they do with others. Like any media, podcasts are not magical and don't instantly make our students smarter, more attentive, and better writers. However, when integrated in sound ways, podcasts can offer much to our classes. Thanks for listening to Episode 2, Podcast Types to Consider, in the Multimodal Text, Podcasting in a Writing Class, Considering the Possibilities. Tune into Episode 3, Podcast Assignments 1, Response Assignments, where I present some rules for including podcast assignments and background on introducing podcasts into a writing class. I also present 3 response-based possible assignments. This multimodal text was published in Kairos, a journal of rhetoric, technology, and pedagogy. Please check out the full web text at Kairos. Full reference information, transcript, and links are available in the web text and also in the lyrics field of the MP3. All student samples in this podcast were used with full permission. The music used in this podcast is 6 off Ghosts 1 by Nine Inch Nails, which is available under an attribution, non-commercial, share-alike Creative Commons license. This text is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike 3.0 United States license. Rights to the student samples are reserved by their authors. Please give me, Jennifer L. Bowie, and Kairos credit, don't make any money off of this, and share any derivative works. Thanks for listening.